Smart Cities, Big Data, Civic Hackers, and the Quest for a New Utopia. Author, Anthony M. Townsend. Urbanization and Ubiquity. In 2008, our global civilization reached three historic thresholds. The first came in February, when the United Nations demographers predicted that, within the year, the millennia-long project of settling the planet would move on to this final act. The world population will reach a landmark in 2008, they declared. For the first time in history, the urban population will equal the rural population of the world. The next step was when the number of internet users who beamed their bandwidth down over the airwaves surpassed those who piped it up and over a cable. In the technical jargon of the telecommunications industry statistics takers, the number of mobile cellular broadband subscribers surpassed the number of fixed DSL, cable, and fiber optic lines. This shift is being driven by the rapid spread of cheap mobile devices in the developing world, where the mobile web has already won. The final transformation of 2008 caught us by surprise. The urban inflection point and the ascendance of wireless were two trends demographers and market watchers had long seen approaching. But just as we verged on linking all of humanity to the global mobile web, we became a minority online. Crash. Smart technologies are already fueling conflict between factions in divided cities. The extent of the role played by social media in the 2011 urban uprisings of the Arab Spring has been hotly debated. These wireless channels, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, which provide a rudimentary form of telepathic communication, were so important that at the height of the Egyptian uprising, authorities lobotomized Cairo by ordering a shutdown of the nation's cellular networks. The automatic city. Economic shocks have an uncanny ability to distill impractical but promising new technologies into commercial success. Throughout the 1970s and the 1980s, energy management systems began appearing in new constructions, simple controls that could adjust heating and cooling controls on a programmed schedule. But as energy costs collapsed in the 1990s, interest in building automation waned. Today, high energy costs are back, but the urgency of reducing greenhouse gas emissions is the driving force behind a new surge of investment in building automation. Power platform. Rewiring the world's power grids is a massive undertaking. Siemens constructed the first public electric utility to power a network of 41 street lamps in the London suburb of Godalming some 130 years ago. In that short time, we've built up a massive complex of wires, transformers, and power plants that stretches across the globe. The power grid and the phone system were both born during the great urban boom of the late 19th century. While the phone's network's guts were upgraded several times in the 20th century, machines supplanted human operators, fiber optics replaced copper cables, the power grid seems stuck in time. Inventing the Internet. The Industrial Revolution shaped the material basis of the society, introducing the technologies and products we still use today. But there are widely differing views on just how that happened. Pessimists like economist Tyler Cowen believe that a handful of breakthrough innovations drove America's economic engine over the last 100 years. He sees the decline of productivity growth, the pace of improvement in output per unit of input in the U.S. economy, as a sign that we have finally exhausted the stockpile of the breakthroughs of the late 19th and early 20th century. On the other hand, Google's chief economist, Hal Varian, sees abundance. For Varian, the big breakthroughs of the Industrial Revolution happened only after and because of a new substrate of interoperable technological components that were invented first. Have-nots. The economic impact of mobile phones have been transformative for the world's urban poor. A 2009 World Bank study of 120 countries found that for every 10 percentage points increase in the penetration of mobile phones, GDP increased by 0.8%. The bank's chief economist, Christian Zeng Wee Kwang, argues that mobile phones have made a bigger difference to the lives of more people more quickly than any technology. They have become indispensable tools for work, education, and health. With the basic infrastructure and mobile broadband in place, there's been an explosion in services aimed at the poor. Several innovation hotspots have emerged where startups are translating business ideas born on the desktop web of the rich world into SMS-based services for the megacities poor. Thinking about the unthinkable. Thinking about the unthinkable dictated a whole new approach to building cities, by concentrating population, infrastructure, and industrial capacity at nice, big, juicy megaton-sized targets, they have become a liability in the nuclear age, as early as 1950. None other than the father of cybernetics, Norbert Wiener, wrote in Life magazine that decentralization of our cities on the spots on which they stand, plus the release of our whole communication system from the threat of a disastrous tie-up, are reforms which are long overdue. While suburbanization was driven by broader economic and technological forces, defense planners certainly welcomed and encouraged this decentralization of population. Today, our own doomsday scenario is also man-made. To avoid irreversible climate change, the International Energy Agency estimates that we need to stabilize the concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere below 450 parts per million. At current rates of greenhouse gas emission, the point of no return will arrive sometime around 2017. Crowdsource with care. Crowdsourcing with care means limiting its use to areas where government needs to mobilize citizens around efforts where it lacks capacity. And there is broad consensus over desired outcomes. In a sense, it is the architecture of total civic participation in urban regeneration that Patrick Geddes could only dream of. But as much crowdsourcing can augment capacity, government needs to ensure that critical public services are delivered to everyone and on time. What happens when helping one part of a crowd hurts another? For instance, in traffic avoidance, do you reward one set of users by revealing secret but limited capacity, clog-free routes around jams? Or do you redirect everyone and cause entirely new jams? And crowds in and of themselves aren't always a resource. They can be a nuisance too. Rethinking smart cities from the ground up. As cities bring people together to live, work, and play, they amplify their ability to create wealth and ideas. But scale and density also bring acute challenges. How to move around people and things, how to provide energy, how to keep people safe. Smart cities offer sensors, big data, and advanced computing as answers to these challenges, but they have often faced criticism for being too concerned with hardware rather than people. In this report, we argue that successful smart cities of the future will combine the best aspects of technology infrastructure while making the most of the growing potential of collaborative technologies, technologies that enable greater collaboration between urban communities and between citizens and city governments. How will this work in practice? Drawing on examples from all around the world, we investigate four emerging methods which are helping city governments engage and enable citizens: the collaborative economy, crowdsourcing data, collective intelligence, and crowdfunding. Policy recommendations. Set up a civic innovation lab to drive innovation in collaborative technologies. Use open data and open platforms to mobilize collective knowledge. Take human behavior as seriously as technology. Invest in smart people, not just smart technology. Spread the potential of collaborative technologies to all parts of society. Taken together, these rapid accelerations of the forces at play in smart cities foretell a colossal and potentially chaotic period of growth and transformation. But amid the haze of uncertainty, one final expectation resetting investment boom provides hope: the birth of dozens of university research centers focused on the study of cities. For nearly a decade, MIT's Sensible City Lab seemed to stand alone in its focused exploration of big cities through the massive and growing plume of exhaust data they generate. But now, even more ambitious efforts to build a new quantitative understanding of cities are spinning up.